but it's time for another round of racing and rocking with Dragnus.com. Staging in the left lane is your host, founder and creator of the Draglist, Bill Wright. And in the right lane, John the Wildcat One. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated, pull your belts tight, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready for some racing and rocking.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Racing and Rockin' with Draglist.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's great to be with you tonight. And tonight we feature Krista Baldwin, an up-and-coming A-Fuel dragster racer. I'll race some, ask some racing questions. John will ask some rockin' questions. And you can join our live chat during the show. Go to drag.racersreunion.com/chat. Without further ado, Krista Baldwin, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How are you? How's it going?
Oh, man, we're having such a great time. It's always fun to get off of work on a Monday night and talk to drag racers. That's what makes the first day going back so much fun and so tolerable.
Exactly. If only we were racing, though.
That's right. That's right. So here's the thing. So, folks, if you don't know Krista, this is a young lady who races a nitro-powered A-fuel dragster, but what you may not know is she's joining the ranks of arguably the most famous and popular nitro racing family of all time. Of course, the granddaughter of Chris the Greek Karamassinis and the daughter of Bobby Baldwin. Everybody knows your granddad, Krista, but your dad made a real splash in top fuel racing before his unfortunate early passing. We loved watching Bobby race that pretty blue and white dragster. Tell us a little bit about how you got started with those guys.
Well, you know, I mean, it's pretty obvious. I got it from both sides of the family, but I've literally been at the racetrack since I was even born. I mean, my mom used to back up both my dad and my grandpa while she was pregnant with me. So I was on the track before I was even out of the room. So you can say I was born into this, really born into this.
I know. I think you're the first backup fetus I've ever met. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so it's pretty fun. And, of course, I remember when I was a little girl, I always remember Spokane Raceway for some reason. And both my grandpa and my dad used to go up there for the AHRA World Series. Yeah. And I remember that both of them would get lined up next to each other, and I couldn't tell you who I was rooting for.
That was tough. You know, that was one of those great races that happens every August for so many years, the AHRA's big finals that they had. And, you know, that was a place that you really had to know how to get a car down a track because, you know, the old Spokane surface wasn't always the best. But the granddad and your dad and you know, always did so well there. And it was great that you got to see so many great nitro racers that otherwise, you know, you may not see on the big NHRA tour. I love Spokane. We've got stories on Spokane going way back to the 90s on Draglist. And so you're probably at a lot of those things. And I'm sure we got pictures of both your dad and your granddad at those events.
Oh, I'm sure I was there for good part of the 90s and early 2000s. I mean, we would go there every year, without a doubt. I mean, that was one of the racetracks where that's going back to the old school, going back to basics, run what you brown kind of racing. And so
right.
I remember that's like one of my earliest childhood memories was that raceway.
I love it. Well, man, you're hardcore from the beginning.
Well, yes, I am.
Tell us about how you actually got started racing. So obviously you were there with your dad and your granddad for many years, but then you know, you've started somewhere, and now you're going faster than your famous grandfather did for the majority of his career in your new A-Fuel dragster. I don't know if you can rib him about that, but tell us how you went from whatever you started in. Let us know a little bit about that all the way to this A-Fueler.
Well, you know, my generation was really the junior dragster generation. And so we were planning on doing the junior dragster thing, but unfortunately when I turned 8, a couple months later, my dad passed away. So that wasn't totally an option for me. But going forward a couple more years, in 2012, I met a guy named Rick McDonald. We were at a car show out at the Pomona Fairplex, and I was tackling one of the show cars, and he asked me, he's like, "Are you interested in driving?" And I'm like, "Of course I'm interested in driving. Who isn't interested in driving?" So he invited me out to the shop a couple weeks later, and I started driving a Nostalgia Eliminator 1 front-engine dragster. It was an injected Ford-powered dragster. So that's where I started, was the Nostalgia Rings. So I went about 780s, 790s down the quarter mile, about 180 miles an hour. So that's how I started. And then flash forward a couple more years, I met Anthony DeCiro out in Charlotte. And funny story is, I'm good friends with one of his crew members, Jake Sanders, who is the son of Mark Sanders, the Mr. Explosive Nostalgia Funny Car. And we were both working Charlotte, and he texted me. He's like, "Hey, do you have any nail polish?" And of course, you gotta ask why when a crew guy is asking you nail polish. Yeah. Nail polish at the races. So I asked him why, and I guess Anthony DeCiro's daughter, Colette, she was 3 years old at the time, she chipped a nail. And so she wasn't too happy about it. And so I brought over the nail polish, and really, the whole A-Fuel thing started with a three-year-old and some nail polish.
I love it. Oh, my goodness. Well, see, I could tell how nice you are just by talking to you, and see what nice got you back then. That's fantastic. So, so great.
Yeah, so that's literally how it started about a year ago in the spring Charlotte race at the Four Wides. And we started talking, and come Indy test session, I was ready to get my license and went out there, made three hits, and made my crossover. And then I had my A-Fuel debut early this year at the Winter Nationals in Pomona.
So amazing. Well, you know, you started out, you stayed hardcore all the way. Talking about an NE1 front-engine dragster, injected Ford nonetheless. That, you know, that was not something you just jump into and drive. I mean, you were literally, I mean, that had to be so cool. Did you think about it at the time when you're sitting behind that motor, that you basically were doing the same thing Granddad did many, many years ago in the same type of car?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's pretty amazing. It was funny, when I ran my first seven in the full quarter mile, I called him up, and he's like, "You went faster than I did when I first started." No, I had a great time with it. I mean, it was such a learning curve, and of course, I've never been down the drag strip like that before. So it was really, I took my time. You know, I learned how to read the track, how to learn to read the race car and see what it was doing, but I loved it. It was so much fun, and especially going back to the nostalgia classes, I mean, that's where my heart is. I mean, I'm all about, like, if I had to grow up in an era, it would be the 1960s, front-engine dragsters, 64 car fields. I mean, that's where my heart is. But
unbelievable.
I also do love doing that A-Fuel thing, too, so.
Right. Oh, you're so, so, such a throwback, so hardcore. I love it. So tell us, so you're in the A-Fueler, thanks to Anthony and his three-year-old, and of course your buddy Jake, who himself has had a chance to jump behind the wheel of Pop's car, which is very cool. But tell us how your 2016 season went. So there you are, the big, you know, the big opening that everybody always waits for every year is the big debut at the Winter Nationals to see who's coming out, and there you are in an A-Fuel dragster. Take us from there all the way to, today. How did that 2016 season go for you?
It was pretty amazing. I mean, coming from a rookie year, and with the NE1 car, I could only drive during the summer because I was away at college. And so I made a promise with my family that school was first and then drag racing. So I made that promise. I graduated college, and then the opportunity came up to run this A-Fuel car. But man, I've been to Pomona, I couldn't even tell you how many times, twice a year for 23 years. But,
right.
I mean, rolling through the tower, you're in the seat, you have the helmet on. Anthony says, "Let's go, let's fire it up." I mean, it's such a surreal surreal feeling. I mean, I had goosebumps for months before that. I just couldn't believe that this was happening to me. But it was awesome. I went out there, made a first hit. Everyone told me that Pomona's a really short racetrack. And at the time, I only had 5 runs in the car before this. So I was like, you know what? I'll click it a little early, see how I feel, and make sure I got my routine down and everything checked out. So I stood on the gas the next round, and we went 5:26. And that's that's the quickest that Anthony's ever been owning the A-Fuel car. And so that was pretty awesome. I mean, first race running a 5:20.
Oh, my goodness.
Half of the field in, like, the roughest class in NHRA. Pretty awesome, I must say.
Yeah. That's so great. I got news for you. There's only a handful of people who've gone a 5:26 or better in A-Fuel Dragster. And, you know, many of the ones who did were back in a couple years ago when the rules were different. You know, you guys are finally just now creeping back up on the 5:20s and after several rules changes. So what a blast. I mean, your family must have been going nuts, and your friends after that run.
Oh yeah. I mean, just watching the video on the starting line after I ran that, like, everyone was jumping. And I even had a friend videotape it in the stands. And you can see him pan all the way to the finish line, and everyone jumps up in the stands. It's like, oh my God, that was for me? You know? Yeah. Like, I can see the one sitting in the stands jumping up, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun. I had a really good time at Pomona. I mean, that was a huge debut, and I'm so proud of my team and Anthony DeCiro for letting me do this, so.
It's so amazing. And I know that, you know, you don't get scrub announcers at NHRA national events, so I'm sure somebody was up there telling the folks exactly who you were and what to look out for. So, of course, folks, you know, a million people were pulling for you. So, so great.
I mean, I've learned in this industry that you got to learn to make friends with the announcers.
Right.
So, but, no, I had some awesome guys behind me. I mean, Dennis Taylor was up there announcing A-Fuel, and Mike English was up there. Bob Fry was up there. I mean, the legendary Bob Fry was announcing me at my first race. I mean, that's awesome.
I love it. So. Oh, those are three great guys and definitely know what they're doing. If Taylor's not tuning one, he can sure talk about one and talk about the Yalki and the injected nitro cars.
Oh, yes.
And I've had the pleasure to announce with both of the other gentlemen, and I sat there in awe myself as I was just, you know, watching them. So great. So, you know, I mean, I don't see how the rest of 2016 could have been much better. Tell us what's on tap for 2017. What does this year look like?
Well, we just finished. I concluded my rookie year at the World Finals, and we did okay. We snuck by in the 16th spot. We were having some tire shake issues, and we couldn't get past first round, but it's all good. I mean, every time I'm in the car, I have a blast, no matter what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm really blessed to have the opportunity. But I'm thinking next year, probably about 6 to 10 races, you know, keep getting my feet wet. You know, I'm still learning. Every run I go down the racetrack, it's still something new is happening in the car. And so I really focus on what I'm doing in the car, what the car is doing, how to react to the car. And so, but yeah, I'm thinking about 6 to 10 races next year. Keep going. Probably not too much more because I do have a lot on my plate. But it's awesome. It's an awesome reward. That's for sure.
That's fantastic. Keep getting those A's in college, and they'll keep letting you drive. That's really great. So, is anybody, not to take this too far ahead, but I can see Poe, if you were making a movie about this, the dream scenario would be when your granddad finally retires, he puts you in the seat of that thing and you're stepping up to top fuel. Have you guys had any fantasy talks about that?
Oh, I've been asking him for years if I can get in his car. He's so funny because he's like, well, you got to do college first. I'm like, all right, Grandpa, I'll do college. I did college. I graduated. And now I'm out here working. And he's like, well, maybe you should have a couple more years in the A-Fuel car. So he's backpedaling a little bit. But but no, he's totally on board now. He's come around. He's watched every run so far, and he's given me tips on how to drive the car, how to handle the car, what to interpret when the car does this, because we actually do have similar cars. They're both mm-hmm. former DSR chassis.
Cool.
I don't have the canopy. He does. So cool. That's really cool because we kind of have the same feeling in the car. I will add this. At Charlotte at the Four Wise, I did qualify faster than him, than his qualifying time.
<Uh-oh>.
I will say that. So I did beat him at one thing, but he's that, like, okay.
That makes
down.
For an awkward Thanksgiving dinner there. Look out. Oh, that's wonderful.
No, he's totally on board now. He's helping me out, and it's really awesome having him in my corner. Topfiel is the top of my dreams. I mean, I'm living out my dream now, just driving. I mean, that's a huge feat in itself, just being out here doing what I'm doing now. But I'd love to go Topfiel Racing. I highly doubt he's going to retire anytime soon, so he's going to be in his seat, but hopefully one of these days I can race against him.
So great. Well, his heart must be bursting with pride, I'm sure it is, and the rest of your family. Well, tell us your best racing story. You got one crazy racing story to share with us before we turn you over to the music man?
Oh, goodness. Best racing story. I have millions of racing stories, but...
Anything wacky happened to you on the way to the track, at the drags?
Okay, I do remember this one. I believe it was 2000 when Doug Herbert exploded his car on the starting line in Pomona,
right. And
it was that big fire. My
amazing.
Dad was actually racing against him, and I was in the tow vehicle. I was in the tow vehicle right behind Doug's explosion, and the car next to me, all the windows blew out. Fortunately, in my van, we were okay, but no, I definitely remember that concussion of a boom. I remember my whole body got so hot because of the fire. But, that was probably one of the wackiest things that happened to me so far.
Well, no doubt, you had a front row seat to perhaps the biggest explosion in drag racing history. I mean, certainly the biggest, perhaps, Big Daddy's, Lions 1970 was huge as well, but not as big, right? I mean, in terms of the fireball, and you were right there. Man,
yeah.
I'm glad you're okay.
Oh, yeah,
okay.
We were all okay, but yeah, that's probably one of the wackiest stories I have, is that I was sitting right there when that huge bomb went off.
if nothing ever happened to you in drag racing, you have that, but now look where you are, man. You're rocking this thing so hard.
I'm trying. I'm trying to get it every day, working towards that goal, so...
Awesome. Well, I tell you what, speaking of rocking, let me turn you over to John Balkin, and he's going to ask you some rocking music questions.
Well, thanks, BP.
Sounds
Krista.
Good.
Yeah, can you tell us what your favorite music is?
Goodness. I probably listen to the mostly classic vinyl, 60s,
uh-huh.
70s rock and roll, that's for sure.
Great.
But I'm also known to listen to the country side of things as well, so.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
Yeah, we have that going on here too. I'm in Houston, and it's 60s and 70s rock and roll is part of my background, from mm-hmm. growing up here and everything. Is there a song that when you're on your way to the races, or if you're at the drag strip and you're getting ready to race, do you ever have a song in your head that plays over and over for you?
Ooh, that's a tough one. There's a couple ones, I guess. Who doesn't get pumped up when Thunderstruck by AC/DC comes on?
Oh, yeah.
So that's a good pump-up song. Gets me in the right mindset to do, mm-hmm. Figure out what I'm going to do on the racetrack. Going the more popular pop scene, I do like Lady Gaga, so Lady Gaga is on my playlist as well. But
me too.
Yeah, I got a lot of different things on there, so.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, she's fantastic. I really admire her for not only for her individuality but for her incredible talent. She is just an unbelievably talented person.
Oh yes, she is. She's even better live. I went and saw her in concert for my 21st birthday, and she was phenomenal.
I was going to ask you about your favorite concert, so you just told us about it. How was it?
Oh, amazing. I mean, she had you on your feet all night long. I mean, it was really awesome. It was really like a party, I guess you would say.
That is great. That's fantastic. Yeah, when she came out with Born This Way, I was working with some people at the time, and they got that CD the day it came out, and we played that thing for a solid week. It was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Great job. Writes all her own songs, plays the instruments, does everything. She's incredible. Oh, by the way, I wanted to let you know, I saw your dad and the Greek race here in Houston, and it was one of my favorite days at the races. They both qualified, and they both went rounds, and it was just a wonderful day. So I'm really happy for you, and I hope that you do everything that you're planning to do in fuel racing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
So great. Well, there's no way I can top that. What a great sentiment. And Krista Baldwin, what a wonderful, wonderful guest you've been. Congratulations on your success thus far. Best of luck in everything you do. And we hope to see you down the road sometime at the drags. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, guys. I hope you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Same to you. Ladies and gentlemen, Krista Baldwin, third generation Nitro Dragster racer from the man who went 200 for the first time way back then, and to the young lady who went 526 at Pomona and rocked the house. What a wonderful, wonderful person. Farewell, ma'am.
Thank you.
Krista Baldwin, everybody. Let's turn it over to John and check out this week's JB's Take and the Racer of the Week. John, take it away, sir.
Thanks, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is Bobby Knighton from Houston, Texas. Now, back in September, the band played at the annual Hot Rod Picnic at Carbide Park in Lamarck, and there were 68 cars there, all classic hot rods, as it's something all hot rodders in this area are looking forward to every year. While we were playing, I noticed a gent who came up to a table near the band and sat there all the way through our concert. When we were finished, he came up to me, he introduced himself to me, and he gave me his card. He said his name is Bobby Knighton, that's his 40 Ford street rod over there, and he thanked me for doing Racer of the Week and for being a part of the Racing and Rocking show. I was surprised. I didn't know that he would know about that. Well, he was just as nice and pleasant of a guy as I'd ever met. We hung out for a while. We talked hot rods, and he told me he has a shop down in Southeast Houston and told me I'd be welcome any time to drop in and hang out. He had to leave as his son let him know that they were heading home, but I didn't forget meeting this nice man who knew who I was, but I had never seen him before in my life. And when I got home, I looked him up on the internet, and to my utter astonishment, I learned that Bobby Knighton was a seven-time AHRA world champion from 1961 through 1968. He brought his B-altered, home-built, 32 Ford five-window coupe named Moto Rico after his business of reconditioning engines to the major AHRA events in those years. It was powered by a supercharged small-block Chevy engine that he built himself in his shop. I was extremely impressed by the car and his team, who wore uniforms. They had matching colors on the tow truck and the race car. They were a totally together group of guys. Finding out how dominant Bobby's team and car were in those days inspired me to feature him tonight. I talked to Bobby on the phone about his feature, and he doesn't have internet access. But he invited me over to the shop and told me the prints I sent him of the poster I made for him totally blown up with his family and friends, and he said everybody wants a copy now. He put his daughter on the phone to me, and I got her email address, and after we talked, I emailed the graphic file to her. In the email, I also included the links to the front pages of Drag List and Drag Racers Reunion, where his graphic is posted for this week. And I'm thanking y'all for letting me do that every week, BP and Jeff.
Thank you.
And Bobby said he has 8 cars at this time, all hot rods, and he built every one of them. I can't wait to see his shop and see these great cars that this humble man with this great success behind him put together. Now, Bobby, your feature is 50 years late, but here it is. And I know that although I've only scratched the surface of your amazing accomplishments as a drag racer and hot rodder, I hope that this feature gives you the recognition you certainly deserve. Folks, Bobby Knighton is truly one of our heroes. I hope everybody has a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Back to you, BP.
Thank you, John. JB's take, folks, and, man, I tell you what, those wonderful posters, I can't imagine how you crank them out week after week after week, so we definitely have to thank you. You know, some of the things, and I'm just chatting with Barb here on the line while we were while you were talking, and, you know, she's, you know, getting these guests and, you know, and getting all of the information for the show. You know, truly the unsung heroes. Of course, Bud DeBoer, spoke with him last week, mm-hmm. and Danny White keeping on putting on the entries into the drag list so we can all mm-hmm. play on the radio. So, and of course, there's Jeff and there's Dustin, and man, what a team. I thank you all so much for making this rock. Let's talk about our lost friends. We lost 3 names this week that we want to say farewell to. Roger Sharples, from RMR in Utah, was a drag strip employee. Farewell to him, passed away just this last week. Blake Williams, a terrible accident down at Yellow Belly Drag Strip. This young racer in his early 20s, I believe about the same age as our guest tonight, passed away in a racing accident at that notorious Yellow Belly Drag Strip. That place is not for the faint of heart, and unfortunately Mr. Williams passing during a race down there this last week. And then Reggie Hart from High Performance Engine Builder. He's an engine builder and racer from High Performance. And Reggie, sir, farewell to you. So for all these men, farewell and our condolences to their families and friends, especially at this time of year. Let's wrap up the show, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank Krista Baldwin, of course, John Bockelman, Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder, Barb Santucci, and Bud, Mr. Drag News DeBoer. Oh, by the way, one more note, folks. Our friend from the chat line, Rich Panicero, is having eye surgery, so we want to send along our very best wishes to Rich. I wanted to get that in before we wrapped, and thanks to the folks on the chat line for letting me know. And so once again, have a great, great Thanksgiving. I echo John's sentiments. Have a warm and wonderful time with your family. Don't eat too much, but don't eat too little. And have a great week. And we will see you next Monday night. Our guest will be top alcohol funny car racer Rich Fenwick, who did some really great runs here on the East Coast back in the late 80s and early 90s. I've had the chance to announce him, and I can't wait to catch up with him. And here's how popular Rich is. When Carol Henson, who was on recently, said, "Man, you're having Rich on? When's that going to be?" So when you get Carol Henson's attention, you got my attention, Rich. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, happy Thanksgiving, and we will catch you next time. It's been our pleasure bringing you to the show. Adios, everyone. Spend all my life trying to be free. Don't bring me down on me. They took a spell.